Maharaj Pataparudra had heard that a great saint was staying with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he naturally, having some shraddha, some faith, wanted to meet him, to have his darshan. So he requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to arrange that, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya described how the Lord had already left his house, his home, and had begun traveling to South India. But he said that Mahaprabhu was a very strict sannyasi. I doubt very much he'll see you because you're a king. And a king means someone who's entangled in worldly dealings and worldly power. So he, having renounced material life completely, will not wish to get entangled. And because jayato visya pungsan, sangas te shobha jayate, what we meditate on, what we associate with, even our, I wouldn't say our dear Hiranyakashipu, but Hiranyakashipu has said that the heart is like a crystal, a many-faceted stone that's clear and it reflects whatever it associates with it, it reflects that color. So Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I don't think he's going to see you. He's already left, and actually he is the independent Supreme Lord, acting like a great saint, going to purify the holy places of pilgrimage. But I'll try anyway. So then in the next chapter, and then Mahaprabhu returns, so many devotees come to his shelter, exalted devotees come into his association. And then in chapter 11, in the beginning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he actually speaks to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu is very, very strong. He says, no, no. He may be even a great devotee, but he's a king. I will not see him. And then, ironically, then almost immediately, Ramananda Roy comes to see Mahaprabhu, and he is in the position, practically speaking, of a king. And Mahaprabhu immediately embraces him. And the parallel, or the non-parallel of the situation, is that the king, or a king, or the very position of king, or the very position of a materialist disallows someone to have the heartfelt relationship with the Supreme Lord. Official relationship we can have, and that official relationship will bring us some good, like Putana had a relationship with Krishna, but it was what kind of a relationship? She had come to him disguised as a loving mother, but actually she was trying to kill Krishna. Well, so we think this is terrible, and indeed it is terrible, but this is the consciousness of everyone with false ego. There is deep, deep enmity with Krishna. Why is he the center? Why is he the center? We cover it because it's quite uncivilized to admit one's enmity, but when one goes deeply, this bhule se jivanadi bahi muk, this turning our back on Krishna is an act of enmity. There's envy there, and envy because of pride. So to have false ego means we are in the material world, and Krishna has kindly given us an illusory situation where we can imagine ourselves as the center, because, and it is actually what it turns out, is when we're imagining ourselves as the center of existence and everyone sort of walks around in their own bubble. And in this bubble, this talk is going on all the time about me, and this person did this to me, and I'm going to do this. It's all about me, the illusory center of the universe. And this is the curse that comes, the curse that's a blessing, that comes due to our desire to be the center, to compete with Krishna, which is absurd because we're tiny, we're insignificant. And we can never be anything other than insignificant and tiny. So to act as the center of existence means we have to be an illusion. And that's what we are. That's what Maya means. Maya presents us with an illusory situation that allows us, in illusion, to think of ourselves as the center of existence. And in our illusion, and that's the conflict in this world that always, that my illusion that I'm in the center conflicts with your illusion that you're in the center, and we sometimes in Vrindavan you see bulls, the way that they fight. They just put their heads against each other and just push and push and push until the stronger one pushes with his neck, he pushes the weaker one to the side, and then the horn goes in. If they're playing, it's gentle. That's the material world. So that is a disharmony and a unattunement, a discordance, that's the right word, discordance with Krishna. The material world is in discordance with Krishna. So when we think, why doesn't Krishna make it easier for us to come back home, back to Godhead? Why doesn't he just do everything? But it's really, it really rests very much on us to understand what the issue is. The issue is our lack of attunement to the spiritual world, to our actual relationship with Krishna. Mama eva angsa jiva loke. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. We are his loving servants, and we turn our back on that. So there was a king, or the principle of king, the archetype of king, was rejected by Mahaprabhu, because if it's the king thinks himself as the controller. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Janiha. Bhunte Prakriti Jan, meant to enjoy those things produced of the material energy. And Ramananda Roy, on the other hand, when he came in, Mahaprabhu embraced him and cried in ecstasy. Having been in his association, like when, as described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gop Kumar returns after his consciousness, after journeying throughout the entirety of material and spiritual existence, his consciousness is finally exactly right to meet Krishna. And the pastime of him meeting Krishna for the first time is so touching. It's so touching because their hearts were already, as soon as our heart is attuned properly, as soon as we have prema, love for Krishna, then it's immediate. It's immediate. There's the pastime of Narada Muni. When he was a young boy and Krishna, he got the association of the Bhakti Vedantas, and they explained to him the Chatur Sloki Bhagavatam, which explains all truth, the truth of the Bhagavatam so concisely. And then they left, and then he went wandering, practicing as he heard, And this, of course, is the real art of hearing, is to imbibe it so deeply that we actually, our life changes. Prabhupada explains that in a purport to one of those Narada Muni verses, that his life, Narada Muni's life, changed radically, because material life means walking away from Krishna, and spiritual life means walking towards Krishna, up the ladder instead of down the ladder. Narada Muni's life changed, and he began to wonder. He began to wonder, trying to see Krishna everywhere and everything, experiencing life. And this point will come up later, perhaps. Experiencing life, but seeing Krishna in that, and always chanting in that, and always hearing about Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna in this experience? Is what's happening to me right now something that Krishna doesn't have anything to do with? Well, if my answer is yes, that is called Maya. And if the answer is no, then I have something to try to understand about what this is. What's happening? Why is this happening to me now? How is this bringing me closer to Krishna? What is Krishna teaching me? This is the meditation of a devotee. He's going through life looking for Krishna. Continuously and only focused in that way. So at some point, after wandering through the goods and bads of life, seeing the cities, seeing the countryside, seeing this and seeing that, the beautiful, the ugly, he sat down to meditate, and Krishna appeared personally in his heart. He had Sakshat Darshan of Krishna, direct Darshan of Krishna. And then Krishna disappeared. And then there was a voice, the voice of Krishna, that said to Narada Muni, young Narada Muni in this lonely place, that I regret to tell you, Hantasmin Janmane Kama Namam Drashtum Ivakpakwa. You cannot see me again in this life. You are Ivakpakwa. You are not Pukka. You are not ripe yet in your devotion. Kashayanam. The darshanam kuyogina. So sometimes we think, oh, and this tends to happen. Here we are at Govanan, we'll have a nice spiritual experience, and then we go on with our lives, and we think, oh, I'm so unfortunate. But that's not how Narada Muni took it. Of course, that was his initial taking it. Where are you, Krishna? You disappeared from me. And then he understood that Krishna had given him this gift, the gift of his association, to long for. To long for. We think it's unfortunate that we have touched the jewel and then it has disappeared from us. But Narada Muni, by Krishna's mercy, understood the great fortune, because within that is born the increased desire to taste of the sweetness, that of the nourishment that Giriraj pours on everyone due to his pleasure of us just being here and speaking about his, and hearing about and paying attention and chanting about his beloved Lord. So therefore his pleasure in the form of his mercy rains down on everyone, and the heart tastes something sweet that it was longing for. And then we go through life wanting to taste and taste and taste again. And when we find where that sweetness is coming from, we become eager for it. And this is what Narada Muni did. And he became like a madman. He just chanted and chanted. And everywhere he went, he was longing to associate with Krishna again. And he chanted and chanted and chanted and remembered Krishna. And then one day, his body dropped to the ground. He died. But he didn't die. But instantaneously, his real, who he really was, like lightning, and like the sound of lightning and the flash of lightning occur simultaneously with the dropping of his body, his spiritual body manifest fully. Because he had cultivated that. He had cultivated that. And why did he cultivate that? Because that is what he wanted. Another example, a very unpopular example about a very unpopular person, and I hesitate to bring him up in this place, but it is Akrura. Actually, especially the Braja Gopis, Gopikas were so upset with him because he didn't even console them when he left. He didn't even speak to them and say, what can I do, Kamsa? I have to do this. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry that I'm ripping your heart from your... Because he didn't understand Braja. And when one hears his prayers in the 40th chapter of the 10th canto, they're wonderful prayers, and he achieved his perfection by his prayers. But they weren't Braja prayers. The prayers of the Braja Gopikas were just, Krishna, Krishna, how could you leave? We're gonna stop you. We're gonna jump in front of the cart. How is Nanda, how is Mother Yashoda? How are they not stopping you? We have to do it. We don't care, Govinda. Damodar, Madhaveti. So Akura, exalted as he was on a different level. But yet, as he was going to Vrindavan, it is described that he was just simply thinking of Krishna. And Krishna's going to do this. He won't think of me as an enemy, even though I'm a messenger of Kamsa. He'll understand my heart. He knows everything. And when he sees me, when I see him, I will fall down at the dust of on the dust of Braja. And when Balaram sees me, he will hold my hand and move me towards him. So there is one verse, Deham Britya, Ian Arto, that for an embodied soul, and this is, for an embodied soul, there is nothing else to gain. Hitwa Dumba Bia Socham, as Maharaj was explaining, especially 2 days ago, to give up. There is no greater gain than to give up dumba, pride, beyond fear, and socham, lamentation. Just as Akura did when Sandeshad Yo Hariya Lingam Darshanam. So from the moment he got the order to go and see Krishna, to the moment, Hariya Lingam, that he got the darshan of Krishna's footprints and rolled in the dust of Vrindavan, which is covered with the footprints of Krishna. From the moment he got his order, he knew his mission and where he was going to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. From that moment onward, darshanan shravanadi bi. He did nothing but hear and chant and think about Krishna. This gives us such accurate instructions about how we should live our lives as sadhakas. We have our orders, we have our service, and sometimes we may even be engaged by Kamsa himself. But we have things to do, but we're going to the lotus feet of Krishna, and we want to roll in the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. And what do we do with our time? Just like as Narada Muni did, as a Kurit, we should Shravanadi be. We should feel our, become absorbed. This is the whole Mana Shiksha. My dear mind, let me become absorbed. This is the mood of absorption. This is the process of absorption. This is what the journey of Prataparudra Maharaj is about. And how Mahaprabhu was dealing with him as he's bringing him on this journey, teaching us what it's like. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has found out already that Mahaprabhu wasn't going to see the king, and then Ramananda Roy gets so much mercy, but then when he describes the king's devotion to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu said, surely if someone is devoted to a great soul like you, Krishna will certainly give him his mercy. So the result is assured if we follow the process. It's assured. And then we just have to get our consciousness in its proper attunement. And there's going to be an interesting point about drama, about this, that comes up a bit later too. The art of drama, of Krishna conscious drama. Prabhupada is going to mention this in a purport. So now the next part of this pastime is a very, very difficult part. Is where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is going to tell the king personally what Mahaprabhu has said. Because when Ramananda Roy came, the king came, Ramananda Roy accompanied him. So Ramananda Roy has left, and now immediately, because the king is in Puri, he's asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He called Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And when the Bhattacharya went to see the king offered him respects and made the following inquiries. Because remember that he's the king. Even though he has to respect Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he calls for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to come to him. He doesn't go to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he is the king. And as long as one is thinking oneself to be the king of anything, our service may be the king, but if we think of ourselves as the king, our attunement is off. We cannot see Krishna. So he called for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. See Krishna, be with Krishna. Heart to heart. And when Bhattacharya went to see the king offered him respects and made the following inquiries. Have you submitted my petition, my request to the Lord? Sarvabhauma replied, yes, with much endeavor, I have tried my best. Yet, despite my great endeavor, the Lord would not agree to see a king. Indeed, he said that if he were asked again, he would quit Jagannath Puri and go elsewhere. Now, the king's heart drops. Now, sometimes in our journey, it must happen that we have our high expectations and suddenly the cold roof or ceiling of reality falls down on us and crushes our expectations. What do we do? Sometimes we'll look elsewhere. Well, I'll find another Lord then. If this one won't come and do what I want, if he's not willing to submit perfectly to what my desires, I'll just find someone else. We run. And we laugh when we hear it put like this. But I watch my rascal mind do this 100 times a day, that I turn my back on Krishna. I run. I go to look for something else. We have hundreds of diversions, of escapes from the reality that Krishna is the independent Lord and he can do whatever he wants to us, with us, and call us when he wants or reject us, and even that he might embrace Ramananda Roy, a king, and doesn't want to have anything to do with me, and at the mention of my name he threatens to leave the country. That's difficult to accept. One could say it's impossible to accept for the false ego. After all, I'm the center. He should be, oh, Prajnan, you're here. Oh. This is illusion. So the king said, he didn't run, but this is what he said. He lamented first. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended to just deliver all kinds of sinful low persons. Consequently, he has delivered sinners like Jagai and Madai. He's uplifting the most fallen. But alas, has Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incarnated to deliver all kinds of sinners with the exception of a king named Maharaj Prataparudra? Alas, lamentation. Has Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his advent deciding that he will deliver all others with the exception of me? He bestows his merciful glance upon many lower class men who are usually not even to be seen. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is determined not to see me, I'll go find someone else. No. Then I am determined to give up my life if I don't see him. My life has no value. What is the value of my life, my human life, if I cannot be with Krishna, I cannot serve Krishna, I cannot get the mercy of Mahaprabhu? This is serious devotion. Who else is an example of this serious devotion? Dhruva Maharaj. He was so determined. And even though Dhruva Maharaj's heart was simply full of an incredibly materialistic, self-centered desire, what was it? He wanted a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather's, who was Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma's kingdom was the universe. He wanted, the universe is everything. He wanted a kingdom greater than everything. Now that's materialistic. But yet, because he approached Krishna with that determination, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purushapara, Krishna caught him by his determination, and he purified his heart. Because he was determined, because he wanted one thing, because he was vyavya satmika buddhi, because he wouldn't take any substitutes. Just like the baby is crying, he wants his mother's milk, and the mother, in the United States, they call it a pacifier. And they put the pacifier, the fake breast, in the baby's mouth. In Australia, They have a better name for it. What do they call it in Australia? A dummy. But actually, it's the baby who's the dummy. He wants the breast and he gets the fake because he's a child. He's a baby. So we dummies, 1,000 times a day, I can admit it, unfortunately. But the king wasn't. He was determined. Now listen to this, please. But soon we'll require your assistance again. Has Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incarnated to deliver all kinds of sinners with the exception of a king named Maharaj Prataparudra? His heart was shattered. There is no meaning to my existence. There is no meaning to my existence unless Mahaprabhu sees me. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is thus described by Narottama Das Thakur. Patita pavana hetu tava avatar mosama patita prabhu na paibe ar. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to reclaim sinners, then one who is the most sinful and one who is the most lowborn is the first candidate for the Lord's consideration. Haribo. Maharaj Prataparudra considered himself a most fallen soul because he had to deal with material things constantly and enjoy material profits. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's business was the deliverance of the most fallen. So any disqualification is not actually a disqualification. How then could he reject the king, Prabhupada says? The more fallen a person is, the more he has the right to be delivered by the Lord. Please listen carefully to this. The more fallen one is, the more he has the right to be delivered by the Lord, provided, of course, Prabhupada says, he surrenders unto the Lord. Provided, of course, he surrenders to the Lord. He makes the Lord his shelter, go tripte varanam tata. Provided, of course, there is no disqualification on the material level at all. Provided one surrenders to the Lord, of course, because that means we are attuning ourselves to him because he is the Lord and we are his servants. So surrender means I'm accepting myself as his servant and placing myself under his protection. And I now belong to him. Now, in the English language, the word surrender has a frightening connotation. Do you surrender? Yes, I surrender. Don't shoot me. Don't kill me. Don't hurt me. So we tend to think of surrender like that. Do you surrender? And also, just to back up this point that this is not what surrender is, and there's a really good reason why this is not exactly what surrender is. Sometimes we ask, why doesn't Krishna let us know if I had an experience of my last life and the life before that and the life before that and the life before that, if I actually could really see all my lives, then of course I would be able to accept that I'm not my body and that I therefore I should accept my Lord. And so why doesn't he just make it really obvious? But just imagine, don't really imagine it, But if all the lives that we have had, we were actually experiencing them, and all the births and all the pain and all the diseases and all the tigers that have ripped our skin apart, and all the times as flies that someone has smashed us, or mosquitoes, or whatever, or mice running along and eating the cheese, minding our own little foolish business and eating the cheese, and then first of all, we wouldn't be able to think. If we think that we have problems now making our consciousness steady and strong, and after all that's happened to us in all our life, just imagine how impossible it would be to have a steady consciousness. But even more than that, when we would turn to Krishna, what would it be? I surrender, I surrender. Just get me out of here. Get me out of here. Whatever you want, I'll do. Whatever you want, I'll do. Just, I don't want the mousetrap again. Whatever you want, I'll do. But there is no love in that. There is only the intense desire for liberation, to end the suffering of material existence. But that kind of surrender, I'll do whatever you want, just don't shoot, isn't what Krishna wants. There is a more sweet and attractive understanding of what surrender is, and that is what surrender really is, and that's what Krishna wants. Now, if we could just continue. I would like to read some verses from the Bhagavatam and from the words of great devotees such as Maharaj Kulashekar and Jamunacharya, Sri Jamunacharya Alavandra, describing surrender. Because for a conditioned soul, surrender is frightening, because we feel we'll lose our individuality. We fear that we won't be protected. I better take care of myself. We fear so many things. We have so many horrendous experiences in this world. But the beginning is faith, trusting who Krishna is. And that is why we hear, because Krishna is the most merciful Lord. Please listen. This is spoken by Akura. O Lord, you give your affection to your devotees. Your word is truth. You are the ever-grateful friend. Can any intelligent person thus take shelter, find refuge in anyone but you? You fulfill all the desires of the sincere souls that serve you. You give your very self to them. He's not a dictator, bearded, faceless man on a throne who is the one who gives everyone the bad things that happen to them because they deserve it. He gives himself, bhaktavatsala atma pajanta vadanyata. He gives himself to his devotee. And yet, you are neither increased or diminished by doing so. Now listen carefully to this one. O Master, for persons afflicted by the threefold miseries in this ghastly course of material existence, I see no other shelter but the umbrella of your lotus feet, from which the rain of eternal nectar showers down upon them. Now think of what an umbrella is and understand this metaphor. An umbrella, in case it's hard for you to imagine, we're going to join our Satchinanda Maharaj with a teaching prop. Here it is. It's an official Brijbasi umbrella, and it works. A person afflicted by the threefold miseries in this ghastly course of material existence, I see no other shelter but the umbrella of your holy lotus feet, because that stops the rain of the miseries of material existence from hitting this very broken soul. But this umbrella showers down the rain of internal nectar. So from the outside of Krishna's feet, the umbrella of his feet, it protects the devotee. But from the inside of this umbrella, under the shelter of the umbrella of Krishna's lotus feet, nectar pours down. What an umbrella. We'll keep this one open in case we need it. That was by Uddhava. These are practically the concluding words of Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita. Third verse. Muchakunda. O Supreme Soul, from time immemorial in this material world, I have been tormented with sin. I have been stung with regrets. And I have been constantly harassed by my six enemies, the five senses, and above all, my rascal mind. O gracious awarder of shelter, somehow or another, I have come before your holy lotus feet, which are the embodiment of fearlessness, of sorrowlessness, and positive immortality. My master, please protect this soul who is so much in distress. This is by an unknown devotee. O Lord, for so long I have obeyed the unending wicked dictates, the unending wicked dictates of lust, of anger, of greed, of madness, of delusion, of hatred. But they never took pity on me. And I have felt neither shame nor the desire to abandon them. O Lord of the Yadus, after all this, I am leaving them behind. At last I have found my sanity. I am surrendering completely unto your lotus feet, which are the abode of fearlessness. Now, I beg you to engage me in your service. Sri Yamuna charges. O Supreme Refuge, I am not religious. I don't know the nature of the soul, and I don't have any devotion for your holy lotus feet. Therefore, I am bereft. I am empty. I am bereft of all good. And I am bereft of any other shelter. Needing mercy, here I am. And I surrender unto the dust of your lotus feet. Another verse by Sri Jamunacharya. O Lord, without you, I cannot have a guardian. And without me, you cannot have a fit recipient for your mercy. This is our relationship as the Creator and the created. Therefore, please take charge of me. O my Master, please never leave me. And one final verse. O Lord, spreading darkness in all directions, the clouds of ignorance constantly are raining multifarious calamities upon me. I have lost my way in the storm of material suffering. O infallible Lord, kindly cast your glance upon me. So Prabhupada said in his purport, the more fallen a person is, the more he has a right to be delivered by the Lord, provided, of course, that he surrenders unto him. I am yours. And saying I am yours gives one the right to say you are mine. Therefore, Prabhupada concludes, the Lord could not refuse him on the grounds that he was a worldly pound-shilling man. So everyone, anyone, can be delivered, but surrender is required. And before surrender is required, humility is required. So Maharaj Pataparuja says, if the Lord won't see me, my life is useless. I want to die. Tandra pratigra mora na karibi darshana mora pratigna. If his pratigya, promise, if his determination is to not see me, my determination is to give up my life. These are the symptoms of a mahatma engaged in the Lord's service in full Krishna consciousness. Thus, Maharaj Pataparuja's determination is very exalted and is called Dridavrataha. Because of this determination, he was finally able to receive the Lord's Chaitanya's direct mercy. And this is why we must get rid of the anartas. This is the why we want to push away the materialistic, selfish elements of our life. It's not that we're against anything in one sense, but we're against that which stops us from taking shelter of Krishna. If we are bahushaka, many branch, then we will not be vyavya satmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. In this frame, with this frame of reference, we should understand why we want to purify our heart so that we can focus on what is our true benefit. If I do not receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, my body and my kingdom are certainly useless. And hearing King Prataparuja's determination, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became thoughtful. Indeed, he was very astonished to see the king's determination. And the purport here, Prabhupada also says, devotional service is so exalted, the same point, it can be executed by anyone in any position. There is no disallowing anyone. One simply must be dridavrataha, firmly determined, yes, this is what I want. That this is what I want is what I added. I don't want anything else. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after hearing, watching the king, he said, my dear king, don't worry. Because of your firm determination, I am sure that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy will definitely be bestowed upon you. And Prabhupada has a long purport to this, but I'd like to read a short last paragraph. The process is very simple. One need only be firmly convinced by the spiritual master that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one decides this, he can make further progress by thinking of Krishna, by chanting of Krishna, and glorifying him. Darshanad sandeshad yo hariya lingam darshanad shravanadi bi. Whatever position we are in, we have the order, we know where we want to go, and just engage our consciousness and our body and our words in Krishna's service. Somehow or another, find Krishna, find a way to please Krishna, to think about Krishna in whatever situation we're in. There is no doubt that such a fully surrendered devotee will receive the blessings of Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada first said, one need only be firmly convinced by the spiritual master. And here is what we have to be firmly convinced about, that Krishna is there, he's the Supreme Lord. And if we surrender, the devotee will receive the blessings of Lord Krishna, will be fully under his care. He will take care of us. In this world, we say the materialistic tendencies, the tendency of every conditioned soul is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And out of the four, defending, which is based on fearing, is the strongest materialistic tendency. And surrender means putting ourselves under the protection of Krishna. And putting ourselves under the protection of Krishna directly challenges the deepest of our materialistic tendencies and symptoms of fear that Krishna will take care of me. Regardless of what the externals of the situation are, Krishna will take care of me. On what level will he take care of me? He'll take care of me on every level, but according to the way he wants to. Because sometimes we'll think that the way Krishna should take care of me if I surrender is like this and like this and like this, and all my stocks will go up and the lottery tickets will all be won, and the partner of my dreams will fall from the sky. And this is, we laugh at this, but this is 80% of the New Age philosophy of, you know, the power of the positive thinking and everything like that. It's all, you put your mind on what you want, and the universe will reciprocate you and give you whatever you want, as if Krishna is just there. This is what he does. This is God's service, is to like be writing down what everyone wants. And in the temple, you know, everyone's coming there and praying and praying and praying, and give me this and give me that, and I have this problem, and my children have this problem, and I don't like this one over here. If you could just, you know, a little bit of pressure on him would be very helpful, and this and that. Just imagine, I mean, who'd want to be God if we thought that's what it was? Just having to listen to everyone all day long with their complaints and expressing their desires. But that's not who Krishna is. He's the supreme enjoyer. And just what a relief. What a relief. How much Krishna will reciprocate if we just stop those tendencies and even stop saying, oh, Krishna, you know, I want to advance, I want to be in Goloka Vrindavan, and just whatever, and just get me out of the center for a change. And how can I serve you? What can I do for your pleasure, Krishna? Give me that. Give me the strength to serve you with purity. Let me serve you. Let me please you. Let me please you. How can I please you? And this is how Prabhupada chanted, translated the Maha Mantra for the first time in a simple but deep, deep way. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. I want to serve you. And after chanting 16 rounds, 16 times 108 of I want to serve you, I want to serve you, I want to serve you, I want to serve you with its purifying potency, perhaps we'll get the point after a few years that we're meant to serve Krishna. And that is my pleasure. And pleasing him, and pleasing him is what ultimately will please me. Pleasing him is my pleasure, and that is the definition of love. And there is no doubt, there is no doubt, unless we doubt, is he really there? But if he's there, and if he's Krishna, there's no doubt that such a surrendered soul, because again, even the most pious people tend to be asking, give me this and give me that and do this and crush my enemies, etc., etc., etc. So how would this Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of compassion, the Lord of love, will and is all-powerful and is all-merciful, and he gives himself to his devotees, will he neglect someone who is interested in serving him and pleasing him? To doubt that means to doubt that he exists. I mean, even a hard-hearted person in this world will become melted and grateful to someone who loves him and is trying so hard to please him. What to speak of Krishna and Krishna's devotees, pure devotees. So therefore, the devotees, knowing Krishna, having heard about Krishna, having compiled the jewels of their experiences from their life, from their devotional life, having gone out and preached and done so many things, not taking anything for themselves, trying their best just to act to please Prabhupada and Prabhupada's servants and the deities, and seeing that there's subtle and obvious sometimes reciprocations, Krishna tapping us and telling us, yes, it's true, I'm here. I'm here, I'm here, yes, it's true. I will care for you. Give yourself to me. Then we move forward, and of course Krishna will care for us. So how many times every day we have to tell us this? Ourselves is because the material mind, it's limited. It's specifically limited to its material experience. The material mind judges, accepts, rejects based on its materialistic experiences. And if our materialistic experiences in this life, especially with authorities, have been difficult, it makes it difficult for the material mind to trust the most trustworthy. And that is the problem in Kali Yuga that so many of us have. So we have to hear, and we have to chant, and we have to get good association, and we have to see the difficulties of our position, and we have to pray to Giriraj, we have to pray to the dust of Vrindavan, we have to pray to the deities, we have to pray to the great acharyas, we have to pray and pray and understand that I'm so needy. So it works so simply on one level that there is no qualification or disqualification. We just have to surrender. So the disqualification should be, the only disqualification is fearing surrender. And that can be turned into the positive if we have some faith and just say, see my position, Krishna. Just see my position. I need so much mercy. I am so unqualified. That's exactly the opposite of what false ego wants to tell us. So by the process of desiring and by the process of surrendering, everything gets clean from the heart. The whole problem of false ego becomes removed through the process of humility and surrendering and desiring. So the whole process is being revealed here, actually. So this is so interesting too. I will move on a little bit. So full faith is required. Full surrender is required. And then Savabhauma Bhattacharya said, but there is one means that you can directly see him. On the day of the car festival, Rathyatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will dance before the deity in great ecstatic love. On that Rathyatra festival day, after dancing before the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will enter the Gundicha Gardens. At that time, you should go there alone, stripped of your royal dress. False ego gone. Sava upari vaniya muktam tat paradvena nirmalam. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enters the Gundicha, you should also go there and read the Rasa Pancha Dhyaya about Lord Krishna's dancing with the gopis. In this way, you can catch hold of the Lord's lotus feet. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be in a mood of ecstatic love. He will have no external consciousness, because this is what Rathyatra is. It's bringing the Lord, bringing him back. The Brijbasis are bringing the Lord to Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu will be in the mood of Srimati Radharani, of Sri Radhika, of Srimati, so deeply, there will be no external awareness. His ecstasy will be overflowing and overflowing. And if you do some service in that, massage his feet, chant to him that which will relieve his separation by chanting to him of the dealings between in Vrindavan, between Krishna and his beloved gopis, then he will embrace you, knowing you to be a pure Vaishnava. So many instructions here for us. Increase the pleasure of the Lord. Another instruction. Have full faith. Trust. And then make really good plans. You're going to get it also. This is one of the main conclusions of the Uddhava Gita. Don't trust your plans, but make the plans to evoke the Lord's mercy. Be intelligent. It's not the plans, because his mercy is causeless, but attract his mercy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in one of his purports on Uddhava Gita, right at the end, he said, this is really what intelligence is. In this world, if you can take a stone and turn it somehow or another, trade, bargain, somehow or another into a piece of gold, such a person is called intelligent in this world. And if you can turn your life, this human life, which is manusha janma tarapadruvam artadam, if you can somehow, whatever position you're in, whatever gifts you have, whatever debilities you have, weaknesses, it doesn't make any difference. But if you can be so intelligent that you can turn this situation into love for Krishna and invoke Krishna's mercy, then that person is considered most intelligent. The comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Whatever our situation is, it has strengths, it has weaknesses, glaring weaknesses, glaring strengths sometimes. But somehow if we can convert it, trade it, manipulate it, so that Krishna's mercy flows down upon us, that is intelligence. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya makes the plan for Ramananda Roy, because he's experienced. So we need the help of someone who... And that will bring us to our next point too. But then he says, which also hints very blatantly, obviously, at the secret. The Lord has already changed his mind due to Ramananda Roy's description of your pure love for him. It's so interesting to me how this has worked, because Mahaprabhu first went and captured Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya within his net of prema bhakti. And then through Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he told them, you must see Ramananda Roy. And then Mahaprabhu went on the advice of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and captured Ramananda Roy. And then due to Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's combined effort and dealings, Prataparudra Maharaj is about to fall into the net of Mahaprabhu's mercy. Prabhupada's purport. At first, the Lord did not want to see the king, but due to the Bhattacharya's Ramananda Roy's earnest endeavors. What does earnest mean? Sincere endeavors of these exalted persons, because of their sincere prayers on behalf of the king, the Lord's mind was changed and made favorable towards him. The Lord already declared that Krishna would be merciful upon the king due to the king's service to the devotees, because the king did his part. There's two things always. There's, as the Lord's Damodar Leela shows us so wonderfully, when Yashoda Mayi was trying to tie Krishna up, Krishna did not want to be tied. He was crying and crying and crying. Why didn't he want to be tied? Yeah, I mean, would you want to be tied? After all, huh? Tied up, and what does he was going to be punished. You're a little boy, the last thing you want. And Krishna's consciousness, Mother Yasoda's love, was so powerful in the Shuddha Vatsalya Prema, was so powerful. The all-powerful was like a little boy thinking just as a little boy thinks. And he was afraid. And tears were running down his and the mascara, the cudgel from his eyes. He was crying and crying. Mother Yasoda. But the problem was that he was thinking like a little boy and he didn't want to get tied up. And his mother wanted to tie him. So Krishna didn't use his power to stop him. But Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti acted, his potency of power acted in such a way that all the ropes in the village couldn't circumscribe his waist, which was this big. She took the ropes from her hair. She got everyone in the village to give their ropes, and still in his waist. And Mother Yasoda was saying, what is this? All the ropes in the village cannot tie up, circumscribe his tiny waist, and his waist isn't even growing. And secondarily,
no matter how many ropes I add, it's still two fingers, the same amount short. Because Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti was acting. So she, like Maharaj Prataparuja, was so determined. She said, if I have to stay here all night long, I'm going to find out how much rope it takes to bind this boy's waist. I will teach him. And she began perspiring and working hard and becoming tired by her labor, her parisrama, her hard work, to do something that's impossible, ultimately impossible. Her hard work evoked Krishna's kripa shakti. And then she was able to bind him. Her hard work evoked his mercy. So although it is ultimately Krishna's mercy that caused Mother Yasoda to be able to bind him, that was evoked by her sincere endeavor. Maharaj Prataparudra took Bhattacharya's advice and firmly decided to follow his instructions. Thus he felt transcendental happiness because he knew if he was following the instructions of Rajki Pandit, his guru, all success would be there. It was just a matter of time. So he could feel happy, even though his desire wasn't fulfilled yet. He could feel happy knowing that it was just a matter of time. With that type of faith, despite the ups and downs and the ups and downs of our spiritual life or what happens externally, with that kind of combined determination and faith on the path and following, we can be happy in this world as devotees, as servants of devotees. And then, when the king asked the Bhattacharya when the bathing ceremony, Snanayatra, of Lord Jagannath would take place, Bhattacharya replied, there were only 3 days left before the ceremony. And thus, after encouraging the king, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya returned home. And on the day of Lord Jagannath's bathing ceremony, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy at heart. Now, I'm going to do something very, very, very fast here. I'm going to go quickly about what happens next, because there is a little bit of time left only. But it is wonderful. So Lord Jagannath, Mahaprabhu was happy because Lord Jagannath was being bathed. But right after the Snanayatra, what happens? He disappears for 2 weeks. Lord Jagannath does. And then Mahaprabhu's heart was breaking. So he went to Alalanath. He didn't want to be in the places that he was reminded always of Lord Jagannath, but yet couldn't see him. He went to Alalanath, feeling great separation, and the burning of his body has melted the rocks of the Alalanath temple before the deity there, and those rocks are available. The stone is available for us to see. Just imagine, of course we can't imagine, but the experience of love, that when it's not able to be with its object, the body becomes so hot that stone can melt. And then I ask myself, well, why aren't I in Vrindavan? It's because my heart is not of proper quality to be there. And proper quality means increasing the desire. And if our desire is blazing, slowly, 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 or quickly, depending upon our capacity, but if it blazes, everything, every obstacle will be burnt and destroyed. There will be no obstacles if our desire becomes strong. As Prabhupada said, Maya is not strong, you are weak. So Mahaprabhu became so unhappy and he went to Alalanath, absorbed in his own mood, very powerful mood of separation. And then the devotees heard that the devotees from Bengal had just arrived. This is chapter 11. They just arrived from Bengal to see Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu was at Alalanath, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was sent to bring him back to Puri because his devotees had arrived from Navadvipa, because he wanted to see his devotees. Because this is what brings us solace when we can't see Krishna. To be with those beloveds of Krishna. So the king, he couldn't see the Lord yet, but he wanted to see the Lord's devotees. So they arrived at Lake Narendra, and then and the king went high on the palace, and he was saying, "Who is that one? This one is so effulgent, and that one is so effulgent, and this one is so pure." And they began to chant Krishna's names. And he was amazed. Oh, this actually happens later more. But he was amazed at the devotees of the Lord, at how wonderful they were. And then he saw that Mahaprabhu had already returned. He sent Sarup Damodar and Govinda to greet the devotees. He sent Sarup Damodar, his second self, and Sarup Damodar gave garlands to the devotees and greeted them in Govinda. And then the devotees began running. They began running from Narendra Sarova. They began running towards the temple to see Mahaprabhu. And the king was watching this. And when they got to the temple, they didn't go in the temple. Just like Ramananda Roy, in his spontaneous love, did not first see Lord Jagannath, but he first went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Why? What was his answer? That my heart is dictating where I go. My pure heart, he didn't say pure heart, but his heart was pure. The body is like a chariot, and it goes where the heart leads it. And the devotees were running and running to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without even stopping first to see Lord Jagannath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out from his place at Kazi Mishra's house, which is now Radhakantamat, the Gambira. And he came out and they were running to see him. And the Lord embraced each and every devotee. They were ecstatic. And Maharaj Prataparudra is watching this. And Mahaprabhu gave each and every devotee a garland personally. And he personally embraced every devotee. And the exchanges that he had with the devotees, they are so sweet, as Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj describes. Krishnadas Kaviraj, Rasika Bhakta Maja. He is the topmost of relishers. And when we associate with those who are relishing, some of the excitement that they are feeling in their hearts by their association jumps from their heart to our heart. This is the process. There was one characteristic that I noted when Kaviraj Goswami is describing these exchanges. First, Prataparudra Maharaj is saying, "Who is that one? Who is that one? Who is that one?" And Gopinath Acharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya hadn't met the devotees yet, but Gopinath Acharya knew all the devotees because he was from Navadvip. He said, this is this one, and 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 this is that one, naming them all. And the exchanges that are described, they have this special sweetness and the characteristic of humility that is incredible. Mahaprabhu speaks to one devotee. He speaks to... Oh, I won't be able to get it exactly right. But he speaks to one devotee and says, who is elder, you or your son? And he talks to the father. And he said, oh, my father, my son has brought me to your lotus feet. So he is elder to me. Twice, three times this happens in this exchange. It's because we usually say, I am senior, I am elder, pushing ourselves forward. And these devotees are always pushing themselves to the back. Is this low self-esteem? This is humility. And not only that, it is very intelligent. Because where does the mercy flow most to? The youngest or the oldest? Where does it flow most to? It naturally flows. Why does it flow to the youngest? Because the youngest are least capable and most needy. So when we want to push ourselves forward and say our own praises, make sure everyone knows how praiseworthy and senior, etc. we are. And then Krishna says, oh, what does he need me for? He doesn't need so much mercy. I mean, he doesn't think like that exactly. But this characteristic, they're always pushing themselves in the back. And then Murari Gupta, he won't even come before Mahaprabhu. What to speak of Thakur Haridas? He's in this, this is when he arrives. He won't stand before Mahaprabhu. He won't even be with the other devotees. He won't even enter the temple of Jagannath. He just wants to chant and chant, feeling himself so beneath the qualification. And Mahaprabhu goes to him specifically. And he personally arranges his prasadam. He personally arranges the prasadam of Haridas Thakur. He personally goes and visits him every single day, bringing him with his own hands the Jagannath Mahaprasadam that the pujaris and priests in the temple give him. And Haridas is pulling back further and further, and Mahaprabhu is bringing him closer and closer and closer. And then Mahaprabhu arranges, and Prataparudra is seeing this, and Mahaprabhu arranges a place for them to live, and he says, go and bathe in the sea. But because you haven't seen Lord Jagannath yet, after you bathe in the sea, because you've come from so far, just look at the chakra on top of the temple. Get settled first. Go to respect the temple. Then come to my house because I want to feed you Jagannath Mahaprasadam. So all the devotees, there were more that can fit there. They all came. And Mahaprabhu distributed, they all bathed in the sea. They all respected the chakra on top of the temple. Then they all went to Mahaprabhu, and he fed them all Mahaprasadam. He wanted to feed them with his own hand, nourish them with his own hand. But the devotees wouldn't eat without him taking prasadam. So Sarup Damodar himself distributed the prasadam, and Mahaprabhu took prasadam, and all the devotees took prasadam. And then the devotees went to their residence and rested, and they all came back. And all the devotees were together. They were settled. They had their place of residence. They had bathed. They had been in Mahaprabhu's association, they had taken prasadam, and then what did they do? They all chanted Hare Krishna, all together. They all joined in a great sankirtan of Krishna's names. And together, and there's so many wonderful verses describing the glories of chanting Krishna's names. And then, because this is what what they didn't do was, did you hear the latest? This one did this, and this one did this, and blah, 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 blah. And as Maharaj was describing yesterday, and thereby chased the birds of their devotion far, far away. No, they chanted Krishna's names together. Everyone. And together they went to the temple. And they watched the Duparti. And then they came out of the temple. And they did Beda Kirtan, which is the title of the 11th chapter, the Beda Kirtan pastimes. And Beda means they went in a circle. The Kirtan was in a circle. And they surrounded Mahaprabhu. One group of devotees, there were 200-300 devotees. One group in front, one group behind, one group on this side, one group on another side. Nityananda Prabhu was asked to dance in one group. Vikeshwar Pandit, Advaita Charja, and someone else, one other exalted. Haridas. And they were dancing and chanting and around Mahaprabhu. All centered on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were dancing and chanting. And everyone was looking at Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was looking at everyone. Behind, this side, that side, front. Because he can relate to everyone. He can be the center and keep everyone else satisfied. Because he's unlimitedly powerful. He has unlimitedly powerful shaktis, potencies, who can deal with each person individually. In the last few minutes, there was one song I would like to read. Because Mahaprabhu pointed out Vasu Ghosh. And in the English songbooks, there are no songs of Vasu Ghosh. But in the Hindi and Bengali songbooks, ISKCON songbooks, there are. And this one particular song, our dear Dadu of Krishna Balaramandu, dear insane, when he was very close to leaving this world and now he has left, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami would sing this song to him every day. And that's how I heard about it, because our Dadu told me about this song. And the author is Vasu Ghosh. Prataparudra Maharaj said, "Who is that?" And then Gopinath Acharya said, "Here is Vasu Ghosh," and there were two other of his brothers, and they are all kirtaniers. And this is one of the kirtan songs of Vasu Ghosh. I cannot sing it, unfortunately. Only if Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was here. But I'll read the Bengali, and I hope I don't get arrested for murder of the Bengali language. And then the English, some of it. Yadi gora na hoito, tabe ki hoito. Kemane deritam de. Radha Mahima Prema Rasa Sima Jagate Janato Ke. If Lord Gaura had not appeared as the Yuga avatar in this age of Kali, then what would have become of us? How could we have tolerated living? Who in this universe would have ever learned about the topmost limits of the loving mellows that comprise the glories of Sri Radha. Madhura Vrinda, Vipina Madhuri, Pravesha Chaturi Sar, Baraja Yuvati, Bhavera Bhakati, Shakata Hoitokar. If Lord Gaura had not appeared, who would have had the power to render ecstatic devotional service that follows in the footsteps of the damsels of Braja? Indeed, the clever expertise of the Braja gopis is a prerequisite for entering the supremely sweet forest of Brindadevi. Gao Gao Puna, Gorangya Guna, Sarala Kodi Aman, E Baba Sagare, E Mona Dayal, Na Dekiti Ekajan. Oh, my dear devotees, please sing again and again of the glorious qualities of Lord Gauranga. Just try to keep your heart simple. Keep your heart simple. Not even one person within this ocean of nescience has ever seen such a magnanimous, generous personality as he. Ami Gaurangera Bolia, Na Genu Galia, Kemoni Dorino De, Vashor Hie Pashana Dia, Kemoni Gadi Yache. Even though I now chant the holy names of Lord Gauranga, somehow I have not melted in ecstasy. How then have I maintained the burden of this body? How has the Creator fashioned this body with a stone in place of Vasu Ghosh's heart? Chant.
Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri.